We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, good Sunday to everybody at Redemption Church. How you doing? It's a beautiful day to have the last Sunday in 2018. Welcome each and every one of you to Plano, Texas. And greetings to all our growing number of online viewers out there, you podcast listeners, you YouTubers, or however you're getting this on the worldwide interwebs. We greet you. I'm Chris Fluitt. I am excited to be sharing the Word of God with each of you today. And greetings to all our visitors in the room. Can we lift up the lights a little bit? It's just a little dark out there. Just if those lights could get a little brighter. I'm so thankful to have every one of you in the house. Please don't leave before I get to greet you personally. I'm so thankful that you came to worship Jesus with us today. So today is the 30th of December, 2018. We only have a few more hours left in the year 2018, and some of you are so thankful for that because it's not a beautiful, wonderful year for everybody. I get that. I was praying for what to share with from God's Word with you today, and I feel like God wanted to direct me to a theme and a pattern in the Bible. So without even underlining that theme, I'm going to look in the Word of God and see if you can dig out this reoccurring pattern and theme. All right? So I have a lot of scripture for you today. There is no way you're going to keep up, note takers. So note takers, don't worry about it. If you want notes, we'll post them online later. Okay? We'll post those on our website. Start. Joshua 7:10. We're going to move quick. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face?" Verse 13, "Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them." 1 Samuel 9:26, "And they arose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called to Saul to the top of the house, saying, 'Get up, that I may send you.'" Isaiah 52:1, "Awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength, put on your garments of splendor." Verse 2, "Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem, free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive." Acts 26:15, "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' said Saul. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied." Verse 16, "Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." Song of Solomon 2:10, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me.'" Mark 5:35, while Jesus was still speaking, "Some people came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother this teacher anymore?'" Verse 41, "This teacher took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha cum,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and this, they were completely astonished." Acts 9:40, "Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, 'Tabitha, get up.' She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up." Verse 41, "He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive." Luke 7:12, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Verse 14, "Then he went up and touched the bier," that is the coffin they were carrying him on, "and the bearers stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.'" Matthew 17:5, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love and with whom I am well pleased.'" listen to him. Verse 6, then the disciples heard this. They fell face down to the ground, terrified. Verse 7, but Jesus came to them and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Matthew 17 and 8, then they looked up. They saw no one except Jesus. Mark chapter 3. Verse 1, another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Verse 3, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up and take your mat and go home. Verse 7, then the man got up and he went home. Acts chapter 9, verse 33, then he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. Acts 10 and 13. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Peter argues, surely not, Lord. Peter replied, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Verse 16. This happened 3 times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Acts 14 and 8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. Verse 9, he listened to Paul as he was preaching. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed. Verse 10, and called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Does anyone notice a pattern? This pattern, it appears over and over in the Bible. We could spend another 30 minutes, maybe another hour, looking at this pattern that shows up again and again. Let me boil it down for you. Here's the pattern. Get up and go. Look at somebody, say, get up and go. No. Sit back down. Don't leave. That's not what I meant. The pattern is what I'm trying to get you to see over and over again. This pattern shows up. The pattern has 2 parts. Number one is to get up. Literally, it's what Jesus says. Literally, it's what the Lord says to people. Get up, stand up, stop laying down, get back up. In fact, there's not many places in the Bible where God tells you to lay down. There's no place in the Bible where God says roll over and die. Not a single place. But there are countless places where God says, you, I'm talking to you, stand up, get up. That's what he says. And he doesn't just tell you to get up to be on a power trip. Ha, I got you to stand up. No, he has a purpose behind it. And that purpose is to go do something, to go be something, to go say something, to go save someone, to go feed someone, to go and be healed, to go and be saved, to go and be victorious. He tells you to get up and to go. He tells you to what? Get up and to go. Are you with me? It's really simple. You would never tell someone who is already standing to stand. All right? If y'all were all standing, I'd say, dearly beloved, please stand. Like, I would tell you now because y'all are all sitting to stand. You don't have to stand. That's not the point. You would tell someone who is down to stand. You would tell someone who has fallen to get up. All right, this is real simple. This is not a huge revelation here. You would tell someone who has fallen to arise. 2018 may have been a year of a lot of falling down for you. 2018 may be a year where it was really down for you. You had some stumbles along the way that took you completely down. A lot of losses, a lot of heart hurts may have you down. But God, what do you think he would tell you? He'd tell you to get up. Somebody say, get up.
Get up.
Are you following me? Are you with me? When God says, get up, here's what I want you to get. You can get up. All right. When God says, get up, it means you can get up. I got good news for you. If 2018 was a downer of the year, I'm telling you, God says get up. And if he says you can get up, then that means that you can get up, that the next year doesn't have to be a downer. The next moment doesn't have to be a downer. The next day doesn't have to be a downer. The next month, the next year, the next whole portion of your life doesn't have to be a downer. If God says you can get up, you can get up. The world says you can't get up. Some of you have had people look you in the eye and say, you can't. You won't be able to do it. Why even try? In fact, the Bible is filled with stories like that. Job, we talk about Job, but Job had a wife that said, you might as well curse God and die. This is as good as it's going to get. You're not going to get past this moment. Life is filled with that. You may have people like that in your life. I'm telling you, love those people, but do not listen to those people. You hear me? Do not listen to that person that says you can't. Do not listen to that person that says it's over. Do not listen to that voice that says roll over and die. Your friends and your family might say you can't get up. A doctor's report says maybe you have no future. But if God says get up, it means you can get up. Clap your hands if you believe that about Jesus Christ. Raise your hands if you've never been down. You better not put, we've all been down, but I got news for all those that are down. Micah 7 and 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will, somebody say, rise. I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. You see, there is an enemy. There's enemies all over the place, right? Some of you, there's this Karen at work. I don't know what the memes have done, but the memes pick on Karens and Susans. Have you noticed that? No Karen, but no Susan. I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed that, but there is somebody at your work that is rooting for you to fall. You know what I'm talking about? There's somebody in your school that's rooting for you to fail. Sometimes there's someone even in your house. Shame on you if that's you. Can we get real for a second? Shame on you if you're rooting for somebody to fall. But there are people that are rooting for you to fall. Guess what? Past the physical, there is a spiritual enemy that's rooting for you to fail. And when you fall, what do those people that are rooting for your failure do? Oh my goodness, the Cowboys lost to the Giants. And those no good, can I preach for a moment? Those no good Giants that are not going to the playoffs, you should have seen their fans. They were like, it was their Super Bowl. Because they beat our Dallas Cowboys. But we're going to the playoffs. How about that? But there are people that root against you. And they cheer when you fail. They cheer when you fall. But what is this scripture? Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. You want to know what just drives your enemy crazy? To see you get back up again. To see you get back up again. There's an old sports metaphor. Michael Jordan, he had a rule. Never, ever, he would pull his players aside on his team. If he ever saw one of his players put their hands on their knees and breathe in heavy during points. Like, there's a timeout. Don't ever give your enemy over there satisfaction that they are tiring you out at all. No, you stand up straight and you look like you're ready. You don't need this rest time. That's what Michael Jordan would say, and that's how Michael Jordan walked around. Because the enemy's looking for you to fall. But when the enemy gives you his best shot, and he sees you just get right back up again, when he sees you just brush it off, the enemy just doesn't know what to do. And that's the power that we have in Jesus Christ. Because every time you're in Jesus, you can get back up. Amen. Every time. Every time, look at someone, say every time. You better believe that. I want you to believe that with all your heart. I believe it. Even those who are dead in the grave. I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about dead? How about 6 feet under? You want to talk about down? How about in the grave, in a little box, buried in the earth? But I'm telling you, even if you are dead in the grave, you will get back up when God calls your name. When that trumpet sounds, it says that you will rise. There's a man, Lazarus, and Jesus walks up to that tomb. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes up out of the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has not lost a single believer. The Father has not lost one of his children. If they are buried in Christ, when Christ comes forth and that trumpet sounds, every single one of them will rise. Do you understand? In that instant, every bit of the devil's schemes fell in that one moment. He's been doing his best to get you buried in that grave. It's his lifetime achievement award. He is, you know, at the Oscars, it's like, oh, here's a lifetime achievement award. And this person hasn't done anything for years. And they come up and like, I'm so thankful for this award. And he's like, I'm so glad I've worked all my life trying to get faith down in the grave. And I finally did it. And then that trumpet sounds. And it's like somebody comes out and just yanks out his lifetime achievement award. Because everything he tried to achieve in burying you is undone. With one trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Can I talk to you one moment about your trajectory?
Hallelujah.
Your trajectory is just 2 points, right? And you can have a good day, and then you have a bad day. Which direction is your trajectory going? It's going down. And so you have a Sunday, and it's great, but Monday's coming. You have a terrible Monday. You just have a normal Monday. You know about Mondays, right? You have this down Monday, and you're like, my life just stinks. It's just terrible. I'm down. Now, compare that down with what is to come, because it says the dead in Christ will rise first. It says those that are alive and remain in Christ will be caught up. I'm going to tell you something. It does not matter where your trajectory is today. You need to think about where your trajectory is in Jesus Christ. Your trajectory in him will be that you rise. His trajectory that you have in him is that you are going to be full of victory and that you're going to win and you're going to live forever with him. So if you have a bad day tomorrow, I'm really sorry about it. You might have a string of bad days. You might have a year of bad days. You might have a decade of bad days and then die. But guess what? If you are in Christ, your trajectory is going to end pointed. Which direction?
Up.
Somebody say it again. Up. Therefore, verse 18 it says, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. I'm telling you, this ought to be in your playbook. You ought to say this often. When someone's having a bad day, it is not inappropriate to remind them where their trajectory ultimately is in Jesus Christ. Friend, when you have that bad day, you need to remember that you are going to end up on top. So what? You lost the job. You're still going to end up on top. So what? The relationship turned south. You're still going to end up on top. So what? Your car broke down by the side of the road. End up on top. So what? Your Cowboys lost that game. You're still going to end up on top. Your life's not the way you think it's going to be. Well, you just get ready, because what the Lord is going to do just outdoes everything you've ever seen. You're going to end up on top. That's the God that we serve. I want to tell you that the finality of death is scary, right? No one agrees with that? No, I mean, seriously. The finality of death, that is something to think about. That's something to give you some real pause. You don't, that doesn't scare you? All right, your biggest loved one is now gone. That's what? No, that will bring you to your knees. I hate thinking about one day being in a coffin. Not fond of that idea. I especially don't like the thoughts of maybe I was in a coffin and I wasn't actually dead. I hate those thoughts. Oh my gosh. Jesus, take the wheel. I can't handle that. I just can't handle those thoughts, right? I am totally claustrophobic, right? I can't stand to even think. I can't bear to think about lowering one of my loved ones into the ground. I can't. Once someone is buried, there is something, you are not going to see them tomorrow. right? They are gone from your life, it feels like. Absolutely. This is true in every case except for with God. It's true in every case except with God. Because when God says, get up, you can get up. And the one, it doesn't matter what the death report said. Oh, they died at this certain time. Someone call it. All right, they died at 6:13 p.m. on a Sunday. And they write that down. But it doesn't matter what they write down. It doesn't matter what that record shows. Because when God says, get up, you can get up. And those that are dead, those that have been marked dead by a doctor, Jesus Christ is going to raise them from the dead. Because when God says, get up, you can get up. All right. And when God says, go, let's talk about that for a second. When God says, go, that means you have somewhere to go. And you may feel like you've got nowhere to go. You might feel that way today. God does not ever tell someone to get up and just stand there. Hey, get up from there and just hold my cup of coffee. He doesn't do that, no. Get up and just do nothing. Lazarus, rise and twiddle your thumbs. No, he doesn't do that at all. He never does that anywhere in Scripture. No, God tells you to get up and go. That's what he tells you. God has something, somewhere for you to go. He has something for you to do. He looked at those disciples and he told them to go into all the world. What do we call that? It's two words. It's the great commission. He looks at them in the eyes. Now, I want to tell you, I'm talking about men that the whole world had given up on, right? We're talking about men that the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't even take them seriously, right? That we're talking about men that the Roman government in that day would have just thought they were less than humans, literally. Total racism and hatred and animosity towards the Jew. And he looks at those people and he says, you're going to go. He tells them, you're going to stand before kings. He says that you are going to go and preach the gospel into all the world. If God told them to do it, could they do it? If God told them to do it, did they do it? You bet they did it. If God tells you to go, then that tells you that his power is available for you every step of the way. He says go, you better get excited, because that means the next step is going to be filled with power from the Holy Spirit. That means the next thing you say is going to be from the Holy Spirit. That means that you are not doing your own thing. You are doing heaven's thing, and all of heaven's authority is behind you. When those disciples went into the world, did they do miracles? Did they see supernatural? Did they see blind eyes open? Did they see prison doors open? Absolutely. Did they see dead men raised? Yes. Absolutely. They saw all of it. Because when God says go, he's got somewhere for you to go, and he's going to give you all the strength that you need to go. Amen. If God tells you to go, then his power is available to accomplish. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I want you to get this verse. This is such a good verse. You ought to know this verse. For we are God's handiwork. You know who you are? God's got his handprints all over you. We're living in the day of age where we have machines do everything. There is nothing like hand craftsmanship. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's one thing that it just goes on assembly line and everything is the same. But there's something about a craftsman who can take the materials, put his know-how into them, and each thing he creates is different. That's what God has done with you. He didn't put you on heaven's assembly line. You are his handiwork. He has his handprints on you. His own hands have molded you and influenced you and is bringing out the best in you. A good potter knows how to work with each clay, because every clay is different. and he knows how to use that clay for its best. A good word worker knows how to use the wood. He knows not every wood is the same. You see, in assembly line, they'll just force that wood. In fact, they'll like make their own wood, like this fake wood stuff, right? But no, we've got the woodman. He works that, and he works with the grain, and he brings out the best, the power that's within the wood to bring out the best. Do you understand that that is what the Lord is doing with you? You are his handiwork. His handprints are all over you. He knows that you are unlike anyone else, and he knows how to bring out the best in you. For you are God's handiwork. What else does it say? Created in Jesus Christ to do good works. Say good works. Oh, man, when God says good works, I think it's pretty good. What do you think? Amen. This is the same God who created the world and steps back every day and says, it is good. This is the same God who has created you to do what kind of works? Good works. No, this is this last section. If the other part of this verse wasn't enough to just blow you away, you get ready for this last part. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's created good works in advance for us to do. That means that before you ever arrive on the scene, God has already put something together for you to do. This is the God who created everything. And he's created you. You're his handiwork. And then he not only created you, he creates the scenario for you to do the most amazing things in advance. You see, you just walk up on the scene and you're like, oh, thing. No, God's like, it's like, have you ever watched a movie that you really like with somebody who's seeing it for the first time? Scott Fain is in this room right now, but Scott Fain is the worst at this. Cheryl, you're his mom. Scott Fain's the worst at this. I love my brother Scott, but I'm sitting there on the couch. We're watching, I don't know, Weekend at Bernie's. I don't know, and I've never seen Weekend at Bernie's because, come on. All right, and he loves Weekend at Bernie's. This is how Scott Fain will watch me watch Weekend at Bernie's. He will not watch the movie with me. I'm here watching the movie, and Scott's like, he's like, and then you just, it's kind of creepy. You see him just like, and you're like, you look over there and he's like, oh, this is the best part. Look. It's like, and then he'll pause it and go, wasn't that great? And like, yeah, it's pretty good, Scott. Like, this is Scott. It's also how the NFL draft works with Scott. If you ever watch the NFL draft, he's got all the combines DVR'd and he'll go, oh my goodness. You ought to see this guy's combine run. In fact, let's just pause the NFL draft and I'll pull up his combine run. True story. All right. But it's like he knows in advance. This is such a special part. I can't wait for us to get to this scene in the movie. Because I get so much enjoyment out of this scene. And I know my friend is going to get so much enjoyment. Do you know that God, he already knows the scene that's coming up. He's created you to excel in the scene. He's created you to step into the scene and do good works. Heaven and all that is God is standing or sitting on that couch just looking at you, waiting for you to finally step into your destiny. I feel God in this place right now. Clap your hands if you feel something in this house today. Oh, man. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When God says go, it means you have somewhere to go. God's told you to go. He didn't just tell you to get up and stand there. He has lifted you, and he has purpose for you created in advance. When God says get up, it means you can get up. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God brings his prophet into a vision. We don't have time to look all into Ephesians 37. It's a fabulous chapter. Read it on your own time. Study it. Please do. In the vision, the prophet Ezekiel is brought into a valley of dry bones. Dry bones are dead. They're not just bones. Bones are dead, but dry bones, they're just a little deader, right? there's death all around the prophet in this vision. And it's like, God, why would you bring me into this vision? There's no good news here. There's death everywhere. There's just dead body here, dead body here, dead body everywhere. There are fallen people everywhere. Everywhere I look are fallen people who had dreams, who had aspirations, who had families, and they're dead. God brought the prophet to a place where the only sensible, logical thing to do was to have a funeral. God, thank you for this vision. Do you have a shovel? Because I need to bury some dead bodies. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3. He asked me, this is God, he asks, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. I like his response, right? I'm not telling you nothing, God, because, you know, you're God. Right? God really doesn't need your input. He is checking out your faith when he asks such questions. Verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. At this command, at the command of God, these bones did what? They just laid there? No. It says that the bones came to life. It says that sinew and flesh started to cover these bones. And what were bones are now all put together. And now it is a standing army. And they aren't just standing there. It says that the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, filled those people. Amen. Right then and there. And they walked, they marched into victory. At the command of God, these dead bones got up, and now with living bodies, they went forth. Are your vision surrounded by a lot of dead things? 2018, for some people, let's get real, it was just carnage. Lost jobs, disappointment, wondering what was going to happen, a lot of worrying, a lot of waiting and worrying. Dead bodies. Some of you feel like your dream died this year. And it's a dead thing right there. Your career died here. Your relationship died here. The idea, that future self, that little idea you had, that beautiful future you had in your brain, seems like a dead body on the ground. I got to ask you, I think the Lord would ask you, son of man, can these bones live? Do you think that they can live again? Ezekiel 37:3, one more time. Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. I want to ask you today, can these bones live again? I don't know how down you were in 2018. Do you really believe that you can get up today? Do you believe that God has something for you today? I believe that God wants you to operate in faith tonight, not just tomorrow, not just on New Year's Day, not at 12 o'clock midnight, but today he wants you to operate by faith. He looked at that prophet and he brings them to a valley of dead bones and he asks him to prophesy. And prophesy is one of those words that church people today are a little nervous about. You know what it means to prophesy? It means to speak the word of the Lord, to speak by faith. I want you tonight, I want you to spend some time. We're about to open up this time for a time of talking to God over the next few minutes. And I want you to prophesy. I want, that means to speak to your dead dreams, to speak to your dead vision, to speak to your dead relationship, to speak to your dead career. Whatever you feel is down in your life, I want you to speak to it right now. In Jesus' name, get up in Jesus. And maybe some of you have people in your life, you're so worried about them right now in a very spiritual way, in a very faith-filled way. I want you to begin to command the deadness in them to come back to life. I want you to command that that Spirit of God would come into those dead bones. I believe God wants to operate in our faith tonight. I believe the Spirit is calling us to get up. And I believe that God is empowering us to go. We stand right at the brink of a brand new year. I want to tell you, this time next year, you can be absolutely blown away by everything God has done for you. But it requires two things. You gotta, number one, get up. None of this happens if you don't get up. And number two, you can't stand there. You gotta go. You gotta get some action in your life. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one, we worship God together. We've all worshiped the Lord of glory together. It felt so good. Now we've received the word of God together. And now it is time to do that third thing. We're going to talk to God in this place. And if you feel like it, I want you to come to this altar. If you want special prayer, I want you to come into the first 2 feet of this stage, about where I'm standing, and we will come pray for you. Come on, Redemption Church. You know what this is about. I want us to spend some time talking to the Lord in this place, surrendering our life to Him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this room right now. I pray for every person listening, watching online. God, Lord, they don't have to stay down. They don't have to stay in a grave. They don't have to stay defeated. God, they can get up, and you are calling them to rise. Lord, and you are calling them to do impossible things, to do supernatural things, to go and to have victory. Lord, Father, right now I pray for every person listening, watching online. Lord, let them call on you and find you right now in this place. Lord, in Jesus' name, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, though I fall, I will arise. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to be praying for people in the first 2 feet. But we're going to be singing songs of praise to God, and I want you to be talking to the Lord in this place. He is in this place right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.